altitude's undefeated.
Crap, rainbow, punch it up, whatever it was in.
Not a huge salmon,
I don't know where I was going. I looked like I was running and starting to talk to someone. I don't know what I was doing.
I tell you what, Matt, we don't get much by you, that's for sure.
Hello, Colorado Rapids fans. You are listening to Holding the High Line with Rabbi in Red. My name is Matt Pollard. It is the final day of January 2024. Happy Black History Month, America. HDHL is officially 6 years old. The African Cup of Nations has told MLS to hold its jollof rice as it goes full chaos mode. A profound human being is leaving Liverpool, and the Rapids will officially be hosting the first ever Marcelo Balboa Clásico, Marcelo Balboa Derby in League's Cup. I'm joined now by a man who has a loan with an option to buy, Rabbi Mark Goodman.
Those are sweet, sweet words to Porik Smith's ears. If you can figure out how to do a loan, the man has an apartment on a loan with an option to buy. Like he doesn't believe in renting or owning. Loaning with an option to buy is the way he does things. How's everything going, Matt?
It's good, Mark. It is crazy busy here with work and everything, and the weather, other than that one weekend, being absolutely fantastic here on the front side for things like drilling into concrete and pouring concrete, as long as you're staying above the top 5 feet of soil. So work's been super crazy, but it's great that we finally have some powder out there on the mountains. We need it to prevent drought conditions and for environmental and horticulture purposes. We need it for people like me who certainly want to go skiing. So it's a really good January. And Mark, we are just, by the time most of you are listening to us, it will be February 1st. So we're what, 23, 24 days out? Mark, I will comfortably say we are 3.5 weeks out from the start of the 2024 Colorado Rapids season. This offseason has been a busy one. You know, there was maybe the month immediately after the season ended where it was like, thank God that's over. But it has just been, from the Chris Armas news breaking, Mark, you know, there was a break for Christmas and New Year's, but it's been news, signings. I'm exhausted. And Mark, we haven't even had a game yet. We haven't had a Snow Classico yet. We haven't had a rain delay yet. How's the book tour going, Rabbi?
Oh, it started off swimmingly with a delay for weather, and so now we've moved it to March, and I have actually 2 dates on the same week, so that should be good. I'll be in D.C. and in White Plains, New York, which will be pretty cool. And then I got plans to go to Houston, and I'm trying to make something happen in Colorado and maybe L.A., but probably not, and so we'll see. You know, they're basically like places I was going anyways, and maybe I know someone who will pull a thing together at a synagogue. That's the plan right now. But yeah, everything's going pretty good here. The weather's been crazy in Pittsburgh. It's been just constant rain and snow for like a week, and the Ohio River swallowed part of the low-lying part of the city in 4 feet of overflow. So that was the interesting meteorological news here in Pittsburgh. And other than that, I had to do a funeral up in Erie on Monday. So I've been busy, and I picked up last week was a Jewish holiday on Thursday. It was Jewish Arbor Day, the New Year for the Trees. We had a special event for preschoolers. And of course, when you're a middle-aged man and you're around a whole bunch of grubby, snotty preschoolers for a program, they're going to give you a cold. So I'm just recovering from a cold that I certainly am going to blame on small children, because God bless preschool teachers, how they survive an entire winter without just being schwacked by illness nonstop, I will never know.
I should point out, listeners, for those of you who are worried given the weather that Rabbi has undergone, not to reveal which neighborhood you are in, Rabbi, but you do, relative to the Ohio River and then 4 feet of elevation above that, you certainly have the high ground. So you were Obi-Wan Kenobi rather than Anakin Skywalker in this analogy.
Oh, yeah. No, there's Squirrel Hill is a hill, and it is the top of the hill. And it's like I think like one of the two highest neighborhoods in all of Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh is really hilly. The whole idea that they settled this place like in the 1700s, it makes no sense. Like, this is the kind of city where you would not want to put anything here. If it weren't on the confluence of three rivers, nobody would have ever built a city here. But yes, I never have to worry. And my basement fills with water when we have big flooding, and it drains right back out immediately. So it's good times.
Fittingly, Rabbi, you are, despite living in Pittsburgh now for what, we're going on, what, 5-6 years, I think? You are literally holding the high line in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Mark, I hold the high line.
I wanted to wait to talk to you about this, Rabbi, even though it is not Rapid specific. I think it's certainly relevant and prominent in the front of world football. This time last week, Jurgen Klopp put out a statement through the social channels at Liverpool Football Club saying that he is leaving the club after what I think it's 9 years that he's been in charge, was part of their rebuild, Mark, and prominence back to winning their first Premier League title in, there would have been the one in the 90s, I think, when I was a baby, and this that might have been prior to the start of the Premier League, won Champions League a couple of years ago as well, a couple of other cup competitions, and Manchester City, inevitability notwithstanding, they are within a shout of a quadruple and have a chance to do something special on a high. And this couples kind of, Mark, with I think a lot of serious questions about Mohamed Salah's future, as there, you know, if there was one big player to go and really and to be okay living in Saudi Arabia and living in the Middle East and want to see that as a cause that was worth building up and everything, I think Mohamed Salah would be similar to Marcelo Balboa leaving Club León to come to Colorado to start Colorado Rapids, Mohamed Salah to Saudi Arabia or somewhere else in the Middle East. And I think it's a valid question of what future Liverpool has, and given the prominence that club has socially in English football and in the Premier League, to say nothing of certainly the style of play and what they have meant on the pitch in the modern era, in the Klopp era of the Premier League. I think it's a valid question of where they go from here. Mark, what are you going to miss about Jurgen Klopp? Or are you just happy that now it's just Man City standing in Arsenal's way?
I mean, Jurgen Klopp's attitude at the end of a match and his classiness. There isn't another manager in the Premier League who is as much like Ted Lasso as Jurgen Klopp is. He's he just seems joyful about the job of being involved in professional soccer. He seems to have perspective, which I think is pretty rare amongst coaches. He is the anti Jose Mourinho. Mourinho has no perspective whatsoever. Mourinho is the kind of guy who would say something like, you know, football isn't life and death. It's more important than that. You know, like one of those ridiculous, you know, statements. And it's why nobody wants to hang out with Jose Mourinho on their free time. And Jurgen Klopp is just enjoyable. The other thing is he's clearly a genius. You know, there are very few managers who you can say they have a style that everybody attributes, not only that they, I wouldn't say he didn't invent the gegenpress, but he probably perfected it. And when you think of counterpressing, when you think of gegenpressing, Jurgen Klopp's name will come up first. That is a remarkable thing to have a good attitude, a good reputation, a career of winning, the ability to say you could have this job forever and no one will knock you off of it. I mean, the only comparison at this point is Sir Alex Ferguson, in terms of managers who had an infinite seat at the table if they wanted it. That's not true entirely. I mean, even Bill Belichick gets fired, right? Like, you're never going to be anywhere forever, and we don't live in the era where managers can just go on forever. But I think you're going to call it reputation is exceptional. Go ahead.
I think Pep Guardiola is at Manchester City as long as he wants to be, and I think the only thing that would genuinely tear him away from that would be like a prime generation to go and try and win silverware with Spain with the Spanish national team. But even then, I think to your point, Rabbi, I think there's going to be a lot of parallels between Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp, in the final months of this European season, as potentially they could run into each other in Champions League. Certainly they'll be competing against each other in the Premiership. And I think just to your point, Mark, about the duality between Klopp and Mourinho. I think there's so many similarities between Klopp and Pep. There's so many similarities between what they've both done at their respective clubs, obviously maybe with different problem statements or different ownership situations. Don't have time for that whole rabbit hole, but I just say a deeply profound human being who is composed, and the Jurgen Klopp speaks to, I think, the soul of football and like gets down to the core from a human being standpoint, to your point, Rabbi, on levels that would parallel Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso would stand there at the podium after a very difficult match and everything and be asked about the team's failures. And, you know, he would say that, you know, I hope when I get up to the pearly gates and I'm sitting there in front of God and Jesus Christ himself, that they don't ask me how much I won at Wichita State or at AFC Richmond. They ask, were you kind? Did you try to be good? Were you trying to be better? And in the ways that, you know, that Jason Sudeikis does that with his Midwestern accents and the caricature of Ted Lasso, Jurgen Klopp is the German grandfather version of that. And he will be missed. His humanity will be missed. If Liverpool do not get as good of a manager or not playing the same style of just intense and extremely entertaining football as well, then I think Liverpool will be worse off, and just thus the Premiership will be worse off, albeit with maybe to the advantage of Manchester City having an easier way to winning the various trophies they want to win. And maybe now, Mark, this is finally the opportunity to where if City is caught up on cup competitions or repeating in Champions League or something else, to where Manchester City on an off year was the opportunity for Liverpool to win the Premiership. Do we now then say that about Mikel Arteta's Arsenal, or eventually, definitely not this year, probably not next year, but in the years to come, the inevitability of Newcastle and the money that they have, regardless of whether or not they get, 115 plus N number of financial irregularities with all of their oil money?
There are words there, but I'm not sure what the question was. What was the question?
Oh, there wasn't a question there, Mark. I was just saying things. Okay.
It was an interesting statement, and I was like, I think he's asking me something, but he wasn't. Okay, you're good.
Mark, shall we move on to Rapids things?
I mean, we could talk Premiership all day long. I got to there's nothing better in my life than an Arsenal game on my day off, which is Tuesday, and Arsenal won yesterday, although it was kind of a boring game. Let's talk about the Rapids.
Okay, listeners, earlier this evening, myself, Matt Pollard from Burgundy Wave, as well as DNVR Rapids, both reported that the Colorado Rapids are close to finalizing a loan deal with Lamine Diack. That's how I've been told that his name is pronounced. This is the number 6 that reportedly the Rapids have been chasing down for a couple of weeks now. He is 23 years old. He's originally from Senegal. Mark, we like Senegalese players here at the Colorado Rapids, remembering Dominic Baji. And he was playing in Turkey for MKE Ankara Gucu. So he was on loan with FC Nantes. Listeners will remember that, as that was the French club that Alejandro Bedoya was at for several years prior to going to Philadelphia Union. And so Diack was at Nantes on loan with an option to buy. And then so reportedly, this isn't me reporting, this is other people, Tom Mogert and then L'Equipe in France were reporting that there was a purchase option and that Nantes has exercised that purchase option. And now the part where we come in, Mark, is that the Colorado Rapids have acquired him on loan. It is a 6-month loan with an option to buy. And then reportedly the valuation, and it's not clear from L'Equipe's reporting, or at least my understanding of Google Translate, whether or not the $2.7 million evaluation was L'Equipe putting that on, that's what Nantes is offering, that's what Nantes has paid the Turkish club, or that's what Nantes wants from the Rapids, or is it the exact same because Nantes is trying to do some roster financial stuff in order to set themselves up better financially in the summer should Lamine Diack join the Rapids full-time. 6'1", really impressive player in terms of closing speed. Mark, no question, it is him or Jasper Lofelsen who will be the ball winner next to Connor Ronan in the 4-2-3-1-4-3-3 that Chris Armas is looking to deploy. He will not be a U22 player. He is already 23 years old. He will take up an international roster slot. And there's a possibility, Mark, depending on what that figure is, I have heard on the transfer fee in the summer, to where he would become a TAM player in the summer as a permanent Rapids player. There's still the ITC, the P1 visa, and then a medical stateside that do need to happen in order for all of this to occur. Mark, you will remember that the Rafael Navajo was ultimately out, was unavailable for League's Cup last year because of how long this process took. So I think if things go quickly, on the quicker end of the spectrum, listeners, there's a possibility he joins the team at some point in the Florida, the Orlando, Florida part of the MLS preseason. I have to imagine, worst case scenario, he is stateside in Portland and available for selection for February 24th at Portland Timbers. Is that him literally landing the day of the game from an international flight that was rerouted in order for him to be available on the bench? Who knows? Mark, what have you seen from this guy from the highlight reels you have looked at? Have you played with him on FIFA or Football Manager? Do you know anything about this guy, or is the fun part the fact that he's a complete unknown in MLS?
He's a pretty big unknown. I mean, I don't have any. Even if I had played with him on FIFA, I wouldn't necessarily. FC 2024, I wouldn't admit it. No, I'm actually saving up my pennies to buy a new PlayStation 5 so I can go out and buy that. So I'm really interested in this move. I think DNVR has been reporting this and is very excited. And the way they've been pitching it today is something like, he's the final piece. He's the missing number six that we're all looking for. He actually, to me, strikes me as a piece that is off in the distance. That is something that you kind of check in on, and you see how they play this year, loan with an option to buy, and you hope that they settle in and consider buying for something down the road. But that this year, he's really just kind of like a maybe kind of piece. I say that for a couple reasons. Number one, because I don't really know his game. Number two, because it takes a while to adjust to Major League Soccer. He's from far away, and he's young. And so I'm a little concerned about adjustment. Most players his age who have not played in Major League Soccer take a while to adjust. The last reason for that is I'm fairly confident in the players the Rapids already have on the roster, that they had their kind of starting 11 pretty much set. And Diak coming in is going to be an option there, but not necessarily a major solution. The most interesting thing to me right off the bat is figuring out, what the 30-man roster is going to look like, because, right now he looks like he'd be the 30th or 31st player, depending on how you count things.
Yeah,
so
that's correct, Mark. As I wrote in my rundown for when Remy Cabral signed last week, there's some ambiguity, there's some lack of clarity in the MLS roster rules about whether or not a player being sent out on loan outside of MLS still counts against the roster, or is that a function of how much of their salary has to get picked up by the team, that by the loaned team, in order for his salary to come off the books? So there is, for me, Mark, right now, based on that, an asterisk on Remy Cabral, and we'll get to in a minute on Miguel Navarro. But I would agree with DNVR's take on it, and that I think this is the last big piece. I don't think there's any other big acquisitions on the list of when Chris Armas sat down with Porrick Smith, Wayne Brand, and Josh Kroenke and had coffee, and they talked about what they wanted in terms of player signings from this offseason. I think every single position is crossed off the list at this point. I think there'll be a few outgoings. Right. We'll get to that in a minute. And I think that there's a big opportunity to sign somebody probably domestically. They won't shy away from that. But from this standpoint, like the bulk of the Christmas shopping is done. Porrick has gone to Walmart. He's gone to Best Buy. He's gone to Toys R Us. And the presents are wrapped under the tree.
Yeah. No, the loan move for Miguel Navarro is the move that pretty much opens up a spot. But that still means that there's not a lot of wiggle room left in this roster. So it's an interesting move. But like I said, I don't really count on this guy being a put him in ink starter as our number six. I also think, you know, we're all going to see what his game looks like. You know, the other reason that I'm not super high on him and putting a lot of pressure on him is the idea that, you know, he was the property of a Turkish club who was loaned to Nan, and he hasn't gotten a ton of minutes. He's young and he's kind of bounced around. And if he were a real hot property, he probably would have stuck. So, you know, water finds its level. Hopefully the Rapids are the right level for him. it's possible that he's just a piece that, you know, we're taking a flyer on and we'll see how it works out.
And to that point, Mark, did you see the club tweeted out a nice video on Jasper Lofelsen earlier today? Did you see
Rabbi? Breaking ankles made me happy.
Yeah, so listeners, check this out. The club posted on most of their socials, I'm pretty sure. I saw it on Twitter. But so they had a nice video. Jasper Lofelsen is they're hanging around. It was a low point in training. And then so Jasper realizes that the camera's on him. And then so he points to the camera and he says, "Show that tackle," as Ollie LaRaz is walking by. And then they cut to a video of Ollie LaRaz dribbling forward and Jasper Lofelsen just full Jeff Lorenowitz, Michael Azira, chef's kiss, Mark, or chef's thug life of just stand-up tackle, wins the ball. Ollie goes flying out of the way. Jasper Lofelsen, completely unperturbed, wins the ball, passes it to the guy next to them, and then they go on a counterattack. And then they showed some other highlight reels as well, Mark. I have heard that Jasper is doing very, very well, Rabbi, in preseason. And I did even hear that he crushed it in one of the fitness tests and was competing with Sebastian Anderson and with Cole Bassett on this one. And I'm not sure when that occurred, Mark. I'm not sure when Jasper joined the team in Mexico, given that he was in Germany getting his green card. He will be a domestic player for this year, folks. But if we're talking about potentially, Mark, he was in Germany training on his own, maybe running on the treadmill. I don't know what the weather was like in, you know, or a couple weeks ago. And then he comes to Mexico. The rest of the team was training in Colorado at altitude, comes to Querétaro at altitude. Germany, I have to assume, Mark, unless he was hiking in the Alps, he was much lower in elevation than both of those two locations, and he crushes it from a fitness standpoint, and he's doing well tactically, and he's not studs upping, but he's giving Ollie LaRaz what for and everything. I'm not super worried about the holding midfielder position. Mark, at the very least, the Chris Armas has several options to go there that could provide something slightly different, and Lamine Diak is part of that menu of options and ways to where really clearly, you know, Jordi Mihailovic is the special at left midfielder, very clearly. Andreas Maxu and Moise Bombito are the combo at center back. And so in terms of picking which one of his number sixes is going to be the side, I guess right now we could be going with some German liverwurst as opposed to some jollof rice if we're continuing this analogy. And Mark, does this make Ralph Priso the poutine in this analogy?
I guess. Wow, that's a lot. There's a lot of food analogies flying around with soccer right now.
I haven't. We're recording earlier than when we usually do, listeners. I let Mark know that we could record
earlier. So
Matt's
hungry. That's what's going on.
Yes, if we wanted to. Normally, we are standard 8 p.m. Mountain Time whenever we are podcasting. I should point out, listeners, that Rabbi is very good, despite now being an East Coast elitist, that in all of our conversations, we talk, when we mention times, we talk in Mountain Time. I've had this issue.
It's a Rapids podcast, Matt.
Okay, but I anyone who knows a lot of East Coasters or people from the East Coast or does work with offices that are based on the East Coast, people who are in the Eastern time zone notoriously just say the time without mentioning anybody else, without mentioning what time it is in terms of which time zone. And then you have to ask, okay, you were just assuming that everyone thinks on your time rather than doing me the courtesy, because we have to do time conversion for you, but you don't do time conversion for anybody else. I have multiple friends from college, Mark, who forget about the Mountain time zone, who have called me when we've agreed upon the time, and they've assumed that Colorado was Pacific. And also there's Twitter admins who've posted out social things who geographically don't understand the West Coast either. Mark, other preseason things that I think we do want to note, I don't know if you saw, Rabbi, the cultural aspect of, I think, of what the club is doing and how much of this is PR spin, I'm not entirely sure on, because listeners, we have not gotten to see the two preseason games that the Rapids have played so far in preseason. There's obviously no local media who are down there covering it. So everything that we are seeing is through the lens of what the club decides to release or post out. And in that, there's the valid question of whether or not you get the curated version of the truth. But Mark, there was a nice, after the preseason friendly against Querétaro on Monday, Emilio Gonzalez, who's on the comms team, posted out a thing about culture, and it was the locker room that they were staying in for that game that was very, very clean, other than some piled up Domino's pizza boxes that I assume they were allowed to have because they needed some carbs after that 5-1 win over Querétaro And so there's maybe some Japan energy mark in terms of the, like, we clean up after ourselves, and that is a team bonding activity. That is a, we care and respect the space that we are in. And then in doing so, we respect other things around us and are just a respectful relationship, random acts of kindness driven organization, that I thought was kind of interesting. I should point out also, Rabbi, from the two preseason games that we've seen from a personnel standpoint, there's not a whole lot of big absences, and I have not heard of any significant injuries that any players are going through. So automatically, the team is already way healthier than it has been the last two preseasons, which is a positive note. Rabbi, let's come on to that 5-1 win over Queretaro. I, of course, need to pull up the show notes that I have on that. So it was a 5-1 win over the Liga MX side. Listeners, the starting 11 was Cole Bassett, Moise Bombito, Jonathan Lewis, Jasper Lofelsund, Andreas Maxo, Jordi Mihailovic, Rafael Navajo, Connor Ronan, Keegan Rosenberry with the captain's armband. So Mr. Rapid, Captain Keegan, Zach Steffen, and then Sam Vines. So Sam Vines getting in on the action mark now that he's down in Mexico, Jasper Lofelsund as well. And maybe the only question that you have there from the starting 11 standpoint would be Jonathan Lewis, who I would assume be replaced by Omir Fernandez, and then maybe Jasper Lofelsund for Lamine Diak, who obviously, Mark, I would not anticipate him being available for the third. He won't be joining the team in Mexico, is my understanding. But mostly a first-choice 11 that you would want from that. You had goals from Cole Bassett, set up on a rebound created by Jordi Mihailovic. Brian Galvan scored a nice little bender from his favorite spot on the goalkeeper's left side of the box, Mark. We've seen that goal plenty of times at the south stand, with us getting the perfect angle from the TV cameras and from the press box. Kamani Stewart-Baines, the rookie out of Maryland, set up Calvin Harris for his first goal. And then Darren Yapi scored as well after Queretaro scored. This game, listeners, was a game of four 25-minute quarters, so they played a full 100 minutes rather than just the 90 in two halves or in three periods, as we've seen in preseason pass. And it was Ralph Priso setting up Calvin Harris for a brace. Mark, the Rapids have played now two preseason friendlies. They've won one in spectacular fashion. They lost one, albeit with some a jumbled up lineup and then maybe getting used to altitude and everything. We don't have a lot of information on the lineups that either the Mexican second division team, whose name I can't even remember, what they trotted out late last week, nor the lineups for Queretaro on Monday. And I should point out also, Mark, unlike last year, where at the very least we got every single goal that the Rapids scored in Mexico in preseason, we've been limited to just this 10-second clip of the Brian Galvan goal. Mark, what, if anything, can you make of these two preseason games? Are you going to come back and say, God, I wish we could be able to see them, I can't talk about this?
Well, it's nice. It's nice to win soccer games, but, you know, preseason, it's so hard to tell anything because, you know, for the last two seasons, the team has just shown us highlight goals. So we don't really know how the buildup works. We don't really know, what we were seeing in terms of who Queretaro was starting against them. So we don't know the quality of how good these guys were or what Queretaro was going for. Maybe they were just working on, you know, maybe they were going with their, you know, youth team. Maybe they were working on defense. Maybe they were working on offense and they got behind. It's really hard to tell what's going on with this. So, but I don't want to rain on everybody's parade. I don't want to be the turd in the punch bowl. 5-1 is a good way to win a game, and we should be excited about that. And I think the other thing that a few folks were excited on the socials was, Darren Yapi getting a goal after a whole year of not getting goals last year. I'm gonna like let Darren Yapi be Darren Yapi. I would love to see him score three goals this year, but I have no pressure on him. I'm not expecting him to develop into a frontline attacker or even a super sub in the 80th minute for this team. He's just a young guy who we're hoping to get some minutes out of. And it's nice that he should have a preseason goal against Queretaro. But, you know, my son used to get all excited and used to mention about all the goals, about the times that he scored goals in practice. And I would kind of nod and smile and say, Iggy, your career record in goals in actual matches is still one from when you were 5 years old. So we're... where, I mean, granted, he's a defender, so, but last year he got some, he played about a half of a game at left wing. And so, you know, he actually put one, I think, off the post. He got pretty close last year, so we'll see.
I'm looking up, Mark. How many MLS goals did Michael Azira score? I think it's three.
I feel like it's three.
I got one on his stats card one. Right now, but that is regular season game. So TBD on Open Cup. This would
he had a couple USL goals too. So,
okay, yeah, to be fair. Yeah, he did score. He did score a few times, multiple times for New Mexico. The one goal that they have on his stat sheet on MLSsoccer.com is with it would have been Montreal Impact, now CF Montreal in 2018. No goals for the Colorado Rapids here, Mark. He did have three assists for the Rapids, one in 2016 and two in 2017. So, Mark, as the Rapids blogger who editorialed the Darren Yapi hype train into existence, I am not, to your point, I don't want to be the turd in the punch bowl, but I do want to say, let's pump the brakes. Like, you can have that moment of joy and everything, but also I should point out, listeners, Darren Yapi was playing regular minutes in preseason last year while the team was working on their striker situation, and he scored against Querétaro in Querétaro last year as well, and we all got excited and everything. So I'm not going to be a hater here on the people who want to have that joy and everything. I'm just saying that I am withholding that level of excitement that I want to have and the belief in Darren Yapi as a player. I am withholding that until we see him score a goal in MLS. When he scores a hat trick and we win 3-0 at Portland Timbers on February 24th, you can ask me again and I'll say you were all right. I was a Grinch. I apologize to Darren Yapi and to all of you. I do want to mention, Mark, to your point about just the frustration we have. I understand that the Rapids can't be what Inter Miami is in preseason in terms of all the games being produced at a high quality for MLS Season Pass on Apple TV, but we've seen other clubs put out more stuff on their socials, on their website, on their YouTube channel, on their websites. I don't know if you saw, Rabbi, but all of the games that LA Galaxy will be playing at home, they're staying local for preseason. They'll be live streaming that on LAGalaxy.com. So I do think it is a fair criticism to the club to say that the excuse of, oh, it's Apple TV, like we can't just, because Apple TV has to decide whether or not to show it, and if they don't show it, then we can't do anything about it. There are clearly other MLS teams that are getting around or coming to an agreement on whatever legal geo-blocking restrictions there may be on preseason games. I understand that logistically, like taking down, like, you know, creating a crew that's putting together and doing something when one of these friendlies is probably just on a practice pitch with no infrastructure around it in Mexico is understandable. But, you know, Mark, there was the friendly against Orlando in Orlando last year was supposed to be at Exploria Stadium. It got moved. I don't remember what the reason for it was, but if that game's in the stadium, like Orlando City should use that as a test run for them doing a broadcast probably at the stadium. And if it's on the website, it should be co-broadcast on ColoradoRapids.com. Or can it not be something that at least they throw on, even if they don't promote it heavily on MLS Season Pass? And so that's something that I think is a fair criticism and frustration. It's frustrating for me as media that I have to try and write a recap. It's basically just me restating all the things that the club posted in their game recap without plagiarizing it. That's frustrating it for us. But also, Mark, I think this is the kind of stuff where fans are on social media and they're like, well, where's the 4-minute highlight reel? Where's the, where's the anything that we can get on this? And the fact that all we've gotten is 10 seconds of albeit a really nice goal by Brian Galvan is frustrating. And I think the fact that you see all of this feedback, I think, is clear evidence that this is another area in which the club is coming up short on its fan base. So the fans deserve better in this regard. I understand that there's logistical and legal complexities and everything, but if they're playing that game against Orlando or any of the other MLS opposition in or Hartford at Exploria Stadium rather than on just a practice field in Orlando, like, can we get the crappiest live feed with the AI camera that just follows the ball really crappily like MLS Next Pro in their first year? That's all I'm asking for. And I think that's a reasonable ask. And I think that's something that other MLS teams would do. And I think it would behoove the club to do so. Mark, let's talk about, Rabbi, do some plugs and then let's talk about some departures, player news, and potential future player news.
Yeah, thanks, man. Folks, if you want to help support Holding the High Line, both our Substack and our podcast are supported by you, the listeners. Also, Believe. Believe is our new sponsor. You probably heard an ad hit at the top. We're really grateful to Believe for being our hosters and our people who do the ad stuff. So that's cool, and we're excited about that. We've got some swag coming up. We've got a really great workout shirt for our fans. I'm thinking of doing them in two different colors, a colored one and a camo printed one. I haven't quite figured that out yet, but it'll have the Holding the Highline graphic on the front. It'll be available exclusively to all our supporting Highliners. Supporting Highliners are folks who pitch in $42 a year or $5 a month, whichever you choose. It gives you access to a couple of additional extra behind a paywall articles or sponsored content like raw audio from interviews that we've never released to the public. And those are some things that we'd love to give you. If you'd like to sign up, you can join by signing up on our Substack. You'd also might be interested in just reading what we have on our Substack, and that means you could get a free subscription and just get that dropped into your mailbox each and every week. In order to do that, just go to holdingthehighline.substack.com or just go to Substack and search Colorado Rapids and you'll find us. But we'd love to have you supporting Highliner. And that swag, the deal, guys, is, folks, if you pitch in your $42 before the season kicks off at the end of February, you will get that merch. And then the price is going to go up. We're going to jack that price up by $6 for the coming year. So you only have about one more month to get in on the ground level at a discounted rate for our special swag and merch drop, which goes out to all our people. That's about it for me. We really love all of our Highliners and our supporters, and we appreciate what you do for us. It allows us to make some get the money to take the gas to drive out to the stadium and cover the team. It gives me the opportunity to fly out to a game maybe once a year. Pays for all the ink and the quills that I go through in my writing and all that other good stuff. So hit us up and help us out.
Okay, Mark, let's talk some player news. It's maybe a little bit dated, but it's something we can talk on. First of all, it is official now that Miguel Navarro is on loan to Talleres, first division team in Argentina. It is for the full 2024 calendar year, so MLS season, don't have to think about when South American clubs play, and there is an option to buy on that. Not super surprised on this, Mark, given that Miguel clearly wants to be playing regularly and wants to be fit to try and be the starting left back for Venezuela at Copa America, which will be based here in the United States. Mark, do we care since who cares because the Rapids got Sam Vines back? Or is this a fun way to look at some Rapids math of the fact that if you Rapids math the Andrew Gutman trade, you could argue that they got Miguel Navarro for free, and then now this is Porik, you know, shuffling things around in order to get a few more bucks out of a player who didn't even have to play or get paid by the Rapids.
I don't really understand. I mean, my take is neither of those. It was that Miguel Navarro was going to be the left back, and then they made the deal for Sam Vines, and they were like, well, now we don't know what to do with Miguel Navarro, but he's not our best option here, so we should move him along to someplace where he's going to play. But I think it's a little bit of a weird move. It might also just be that they needed to make space on the roster, and he was the most obvious person. But I am a little confused by it. I don't know. I mean, maybe there's some pork math to it too, like you said.
Well, so a few things here, Mark. We've seen that Jackson Travis has gotten some time in the two preseason friendlies in Mexico. So is this on the long list of players who are homegrowns or young players who've been with Rapids 2 the last 2 years, this is finally his opportunity to make it into and have some relevancy with the first team. Now Sebastian Badesser is gone with the club. And I did hear, this is a few years ago, Sebastian Anderson was at one point in his time at the club considered ambidextrous in that he could play both right back and left back. And while we like what Sebi did towards the end of last year, I think Keegan becoming captain, I think, speaks to where Chris Armas certainly values him. And you're not going to bench your captain for a 21-year-old unless he's absolutely crushing it. So is this a possibility where, first of all, I think it's very easily we could see Sam Vines 90 minutes for 34 regular season games this year. That is absolutely a possibility. But if you like either of those two young options, and they're both domestic, they're both have connections to Colorado and everything, and clearly from a monetary standpoint, a Venezuelan international certainly has appeal to where then you could, I could see where it makes sense for all parties, and it also makes sense from a money standpoint, and this was just a function of Sam Vines becoming available after they decided, well, if Andrew Gutman's leaving and clearly going to go back to Chicago, let's get the most that we can out of him, and if we can get somebody who right now is a viable option at left back, then so be it. Mark, the one thing that I will say, I think Sam Vines coming back to Colorado is big. I don't know that it will be as big as what Diego Rubio meant to the club as the main key attacker. So here's where I'm going with this, Rabbi. I think we can argue that Kellen Rowe, who was acquired from New England and then sent to Sporting Kansas City and then went to Seattle, who was a Rapids player on paper for like 5 or 6 hours, I would argue Kellen Rowe is more of a Rapids legend than Miguel Navarro is a Rapids legend, given the, I think, relatively equal valuations you would put on Andrew Gutman and Sam Vines, Sam Vines having more of a sentimental value. But Mark, I look forward to, at some point, I'm going to turn this into a pub trivia question where the answers, both options, would be Miguel Navarro or Kellen Rowe. In addition to Kai Kamara being an FC Cincinnati legend for 30 seconds there when Jeff Birding said that they were picking him up in the expansion draft and then immediately trading him for an international roster spot. Mark, reports out of, let me quote this guy because I want to give him credit, and we like to give people credit here at Holding the High Line. Scott Burns, at Scott Burns 75, who's a sports writer for the Scottish Express Sport, is reporting that Danny Wilson is very close to signing with Queen's Park, the Scottish Championship team. They're currently second from bottom in this championship, so hopefully Danny is not about to go to a relegation candidate. Not to be confused with Queen's Park Rangers, English team based in London, but Mark, Danny Wilson potentially landing in the second division in Scotland, and then Sam Nicholson has already joined Motherwell, who are in the bottom third-ish of the Scottish Premier League. Mark, how happy are we that even though we were sad to see the two Scotsmen in the arena for the Colorado Rapids leave, that they're making their way back to the homeland and they're going to be Scotland for the rest of their careers?
It's great. I don't know if I get to, if there's any way to watch the Scottish Premier League. I remember when I was visiting Israel the last time, they had Scottish Premier League football on the mornings, which was kind of rad. But it's great to see them still playing. I'm excited to see their careers continue. I was just doing my preview of FC Dallas and learned that on the Queen's Park, although this is Queen's Park Rangers, not Queen's Park, Reggie Cannon is now playing for Queen's Park Rangers, who are trying to avoid the drop in the championship right now. So that was fun. And that's because the team that he was sold to in Portugal, Boa Vista, never paid for him.
They're still not paying him? Oh my God.
Well, and they didn't pay him. So they paid him, but they never paid him on time. And so he voided his contract unilaterally. And apparently the European Court for Sports Arbitration has sided with him, which is why he could sign with Queen's Park Rangers. So so if you're a championship fan, keep a lookout for Reggie Cannon. He's there now. This has nothing to do with what Matt was just saying. It's just the thing I learned this week.
Yeah, so I think Sam Nicholson has an opportunity to do a job and be a useful utility player for Motherwell. Mark, I'm not going to pretend to be as familiar with the Scottish Championship outside of whichever Dundee club is winning automatic promotion from each year, because it seems like they kind of yo-yo a little bit. but I do see Queen's Park is 9th out of 10, so hopefully Danny Wilson will be part of them staying up, or at the very least there's a relegation clause in his contract, because I do not want to see Danny Wilson in the third division of Scotland. Although getting to finally do that trip and just do all of the football games and all of the pubs, Mark, would be super fun when they play the team that's out near Loch Ness, whose nicknames are the Loch Ness Monsters. That would be a fun like almost non-league away day for me to do. And I'd be, would I go in the press box for that, Mark, so that I can talk to Danny as well? Or do I show the part of me that's maybe been less restrictive and everything? Do I show him the true colors that was the version of Matt that three beers in asked him at a Burgundy affair whether or not he was a Loch Ness Monster truther? Which version of Sam Nicholson and Danny Wilson would be more willing to talk to me when I see them in Scotland? Because I know both versions are going to talk to Jack Price will talk to me no matter what.
I think you go to the press box and then after and then you slip them your number and say text me and tell me where you're going drinking after the game, and then you get plowed with them. That's the plan. That's okay. That's the move, in my humble opinion. I do a little of both.
I don't think I need to give them cell phone number contact, listeners. One or more of them might have my WhatsApp already. But in any case,
nice.
Mark, let's talk about
Matt Pollard, Rapids legend.
I don't know, but pump the brakes. Pump the brakes on that more than you pump the brakes on the Darren Yappe hype train. Mark, earlier today, the Colorado Rapids announced that they have traded the college protected rights. Apparently, that's the new word for the drafted MLS player rights for goalkeeper Oliver Semelieu to Philadelphia Union in exchange for Philly's natural second round pick in the 2025 MLS Super Draft. Rapids, you might remember this guy for a hot second. He came out of Marshall. The Rapids selected him in the second round. He was going to be an international. I don't remember whether or not he came to preseason at all, but in any case, he didn't stick around, didn't sign, and he spent 2023 as mostly the starter for for Louisville City in the USL Championship. Mark and Philly doing typical Philadelphia Union things of saying, we don't care about draft picks because of our academy. Let's trade those draft picks for assets. And apparently they see some value in Oliver Semelieu, possibly on Philadelphia Union too. And the Rapids got a second round draft pick that they can pick another college kid who Chris Zitterbart has been scouting for the last 3 years and think would be a perfect fit at whatever position the Rapids are drafting at that position. Mark, do we care? Do you remember Oliver Semelieu? Do you remember how to pronounce Semelieu?
No, I always thought it was Semelieu. I remember when he was drafted. I remember, that he hung out in training he hung around in training for like a couple extra weeks, but I don't really have any. It's great to get something for this, a second round draft pick. It's basically, you're getting another draft pick for a guy who you drafted. Did we pick him in the second round or the third round?
So I think he was second round, Mark. So functionally,
yeah, so we're just punting that draft pick down the road. That's
yeah,
all.
You selected a guy in the second round who ultimately is not a part of your organization. I don't think Zach Steffen, Marco Ilicha, or Adam Bogier going anywhere to where there would even be a roster spot for him. I think pretty clearly you don't even see him. If he's good enough to start for Louisville City in the championship, he's probably better than offense being a starter in MLS Next Pro as well. So you've got a guy in the second round who you no longer have value for, but you have his MLS rights. Somebody else wanted him. Let's get something that we can then, let's amortize or let's punt the the second round pick down and then just roll the dice again. And who knows, maybe you come up with a Dom Baji, Mark. Maybe you come up with another Oliver Semelieu who we don't even forget about and will also be a Rapids pub trivia question, just like Kellen Rowe and Miguel Navarro in 10, 15 years. Last thing that I want to talk about, Mark, since there's been to our point on thinking this is it as far as major acquisitions and then what's left to happen with the roster, given we think there's a possibility the Rapids have all 30 first team spots taken. I do think, Mark, there's a valid question of whether or not we see any departures. I think pretty clearly, Rabbi, the fact that there's no news on the Jonathan Lewis front, despite what I reported going back to November, early December of last year, I think pretty clearly shows that there's probably not an MLS market for Jonathan Lewis, or at least not at would be nobody's offering what the Rapids would want for him. So now we've just kind of got the awkward, let's get together and try and make the relationship work because we're under contract. And who knows, maybe there's a player in there left to be had that Chris Armas thinks certainly is there. There was the link that supposedly a Turkish second division club, I think, was interested in Lalas Abubakar, but that hasn't gone anywhere in a week, 10 days, Mark. And that's not a good, that suggests to me that rumor, that link has died down, that is not something that is ongoing right now. I do think it's interesting, Rabbi, that we've not seen a whole lot of Sidney Tavares on the lineups in the first two preseason games that we've seen. And I do have to wonder, with all the moves that the Rapids made in midfield, I don't know, Rabbi, from the Jordy Mihailovic signing, that there's anybody who, when they were doing the mock lineups, you know, DNVR was putting it out. I think you put out one as well, Rabbi Wanners. A bunch of people in the Rapids community saw the Jordy Mihailovic and the Jasper Loftelson and the other signings and said, okay, let's do a projected lineup. And very few, I don't think any of them, had Sidney Tavares in there. And if he's a guy on loan with an option to buy, and that's right around $1 million, then, and he's taking it up in an international roster slot, and he's taking up a U22 slot, this is a guy who needs to be on the field. And the fact that we haven't seen as much of him maybe thinks he pretty clearly sees that he's not going to be on the field. Is there somebody else in MLS, since it's an MLS loan, that could want him? Or should the Rapids just, whatever paperwork thing that needs to happen for him to go back to Porto and figure out what could happen with whatever European league still have the window open in early February, I think is a valid question mark. But I increasingly, if I had to guess right now, given that we speculated on potential departures and Jonathan Lewis and Lawless Abubakar and Abubakar Keita being out there. Oh, I forgot about Buba as well, Mark, who, if you saw from the press release with the preseason roster that he was training on loan, or not on loan, he was training with a Austrian Bundesliga team who are fourth. I believe it is Hartberg. I don't know. TSV Hartberg. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. So, Mark, I have to think, if I had to guess right now of these names that we've bandied about, I think Tavares and Abubakar Keita are the two most likely to depart. If I had to bet, do we see between Miguel Navarro, Sidney Tavares, and Abubakar Keita, I would bet that no more than one of those plays a game for the Rapids this year or early next season. And whatever's going on with Hartberg, whether or not that opportunity is there, Mark, I think Buba's going to explore options to leave the club until none of them are available. And if it's not there, I'd have to assume at the very least, like, him training with them is an indication to some of the other backwaters of Europe. Maybe not the Belgian first division, but could he get a second division team in Italy? Could he get the EFL League One? Could he go somewhere in the Balkans, for example? Could he go somewhere in Scandinavia? Those are parallels, Mark, I'm thinking, right, to the Austrian Bundesliga, outside of the big three teams that just sell players to Germany.
And I think the interesting thing about soccer players and their lack of ability to play on the team that they're currently located is you've got two options, right? Option one is that you push the team to try and make a deal for you that makes sense for the team so that they can retain some assets. But, of course, most teams don't want an unhappy player hanging around and will create a, you know, mutual termination if they need to. That actually seems to be more dependent on your agent finding a soft landing space for you somewhere else. And, you know, I think with a lot of these kind of back end of the roster MLS players, like Jonathan Lewis, like Sidney Tavares, like Abubakar Keita, less so Lawless Abubakar probably, it's hard to tell whether their agents have their, you know, have them in mind and how much focus is on them. I'm not picking on those guys' agents individually. I don't know the situations, but, you know, when you go to your agent, you say, I don't want to be with this team anymore. Find something for me. It's a big job. You know, that means that you get the agency to send out tape to all sorts of teams. You're trying to find the right level. You're also trying to find who needs a soft landing space. You know, the European transfer window begins closing tomorrow, February 1st.
There's plenty of, at time of recording, Mark, there's plenty of countries that have already, past midnight on February 1st on the European continent. So there's plenty that were already closed before we hit recording.
And there's some, that have it as like February 7th, and there's other places where, you know, like, it'll be a little while. But yeah, you're talking about a lot of players who, you know, if they were going to move, they needed to already move. And, you know, unfortunately, one of the bummers about the American pyramid is there's a big pay gap between the first division and the second division. And very few players want to drop to the USL level if they're, you know, older players have made their money. and they don't feel the need to drop down a level unless they really want to keep playing. Younger players feel like it's career suicide, like they'll never get back. Now, that being said, the MLS Next Pro Golden Boot winner last year just signed with Charleston Battery. And I think that was probably a move just for both money and for an opportunity for a top level pro deal, because he just didn't think that the path was there in Next Pro.
Not the Golden Boot winner, Mark, because it was Remy Cabral who won it with the tiebreaker. There were other players in Next Pro who scored 19 goals in that regular season last year. So I'm assuming that's who you're referring to. But yeah.
I will look it up, but
I think worst case.
I will stand partially corrected, but I will only stand partially corrected.
Yeah,
I refuse to concede the high ground.
Okay. I think Buba clearly, I think it's pretty clear that Buba wants out, Mark. It's frustrating. It's disappointing for me because I enjoyed my interactions with him, even though I didn't have a whole lot of formal media interviews with him. And from the training sessions that I saw of him, there were plenty of times in which in drills he was as good or better than Michael Edwards, and then better than some of the first team players who were out of form at times last year. So it's disappointing, but obviously, you know, he comes here, he gets an injury, and then he's just now coming back. And I think pretty clearly he sees the club have a bunch of other really good young center backs. And I think it's a valid question. How many of them? No, I don't know that any more than one of Mike Edwards, Daniel Chacon, Nate Jones are getting serious first team minutes this year, given Lalso Boubacar's a veteran, Andreas Maxo is clearly going to be a starter, and Moise Bombito is the best of those young center backs as well. So I think Boob is going to explore all options that he has in Europe. And I think worst case scenario, Rabbi, he comes back on a flight to Denver International with his tail between his legs. And then he looks for an opportunity to go out on loan on the USL. And then, you know, maybe it'll be a quiet press release to where he transfers, maybe on a free transfer somewhere in the summer or later after the Rapids don't pick up his option. Let's do some predictions here, Rabbi. I'm going to say Lalso Boubacar and Jonathan Lewis start the season with the Rapids. They will still be Rapids players on February 24th. I will say Sydney Tavares and Abubakar Keita will, they might be contracted Rapids players. They will not be with the team. I would say those two do not play with the Rapids this season as of the start of the MLS year. Any disagreements, Rabbi?
I think Abubakar Keita will not play for the Rapids this year, and I think the other three will. That's my take.
Okay. Mark, let's move on to Leagues Cup. The Leagues Cup draw was announced with a bunch of press release and social media posts earlier today, and the big one that we found out, Rabbi, is that the Colorado Rapids are drawn in a group with Portland Timbers and Club León, Mexican Liga MX team, who also wear green. And for those of you who are new to the Colorado Rapids, that is the Liga MX club that Marcelo Balboa played with for two seasons prior to the start of Major League Soccer. So 1994 to 1995, Marcelo Balboa got his contract, his opportunity with León off of how he played at the 2020-2024 at the 1994 World Cup with the United States men's national team, and then came back to start the Colorado Rapids as well. So Marcelo Balboa Derby, Marcelo Balboa Clásico. Mark, Portland Timbers, a club that the Rapids are going to be familiar with from the home opener. That is going to be a road game. So they are at Portland and then hosting Club León back at DSG in August for the group stage of Leagues Cup. But Mark, on the list of Western Conference, you know, the RSLs, the LA teams, maybe one of the, probably not one of the Texas teams. Like, if you were going to draw one of those teams, like, it wasn't Seattle. It wasn't Vancouver who have Ryan Gault. It is a Portland Timbers team who are probably losing Evander, who have a bunch of new players, have a new head coach, who maybe will not have figured things out. And there's a lot of time between now and August for Diego Chará to pick up a hamstring injury or yellow card accumulation. That is a beatable team, Mark, or at least certainly much more beatable than that Nashville side was. And I haven't looked to see how Club León is doing in the Clausura. I don't know if they're going to be good. I don't know if they're going to be stacked and absolutely destroy the Rapids like Toluca did last August, Mark. But, like, Marcelo Balboa is going to be there. It's going to be a celebration of him. And I think it's so fantastic that such a prominent player, you know, with Hispanic roots, playing in Mexico, U.S. international, World Cup veteran, Rapids legend, generally well-liked by for Americans who played for Club León, like the Marcelo Bubba was liked. Obviously, William Yarbrough is no longer with the team. Club León was also one of his clubs when he played in Mexico. I just think that's going to be a fun night, and I hope Marcelo Bubba is on the broadcast or just able to be there and just be celebrated by both fan bases. And if the Rapids get walloped, at the very least, Mark, we get to have, like, that is Marcelo Bubba day when that game takes place. Mark, what do you make of that? What do you make of the draw? Are the Rapids getting out of the group?
León are mid-tier right now in Liga MX. They finished eighth in the Apertura, which is the opening, you know, the fall tournament of the league. And then in the Clausura, they're kind of in the middle right now, but they're only four games in. So that's León. My take on Portland is like the same as it's been for the last 2 years, which is they shed a bunch of players. They haven't added a lot of players, and they're relying on a lot of older players to kind of carry them through. I already did, if you've read your Holding the Highline Substack, I did a preview looking at what Portland was up to, and I kind of basically said, you know, it's not great. It's not solid. So can they get out of that group? You know, it's possible. I think we match up pretty good. It's really hard to predict something that far away. You know, those games don't drop till the end of July. And so knowing how healthy the team is and whether they're going to be adding any players at the mid-season adjustment and what other teams are going to be adding and subtracting players at the mid-season adjustment is a good question. Remember that a year ago today, we didn't know that Lionel Messi was going to be playing in the Leagues Cup. And he did, you know, like that was where it came. You know, the rumor mill was going in January of 2023, but it hadn't quite gotten to the point where it was an imminent signing. And then it happened. So a lot of things are going to change between now and then. That being said, I'm pretty bullish on the Rapids actually making it out of the first round of the Leagues Cup for the first time ever.
Yeah. I think they can get a result at Portland, or at least I think that Portland team is beatable, Mark. You know, if I had to pick a team west of Colorado that the Rapids are going to go play at, like, you know, we're talking TBD on where the LA Galaxy are, because Greg Vanney could be fired by, you know, if they lose the first three games of the season. But then I think San Jose, I pick Portland over the other two Cascadia teams. I pick Portland over RSL, even with the changes that they've had. I do not want the Rapids having to have a must-win game against at RSL for a group stage League Cup match, and then certainly wouldn't put LAFC or any of the, I wouldn't want to play any of the Texas teams on the road in League Cup either, even with Austin being as bad as they were last season. So Portland was a favorable draw, and, you know, for getting a Mexican team, Mark, that wasn't one of the Gigantes, one of the two Monterrey clubs, or Club America, was certainly beneficial. So you got a mid-table one, but a mid-table one that's fun, wears green, which obviously, you know, like, I like Rapids green, wear Rapids green to that game, listeners. Let's green out, let's Verde out Dick's Sporting Goods Park, as far as I'm concerned. And even if the Rapids get walloped, Mark, to have that night to be a platform to celebrate Marcelo Balboa, it's just going to be chef's kiss. Rabbi, let's get to some Ask HTHLs. Mark, you would have seen that we think EAFC accidentally leaked all of the new primary kits for MLS, and the Rapids one kind of has this wavy checkerboard flag kind of a thing going on. So off of that, Rabbi, Dustin asks on Twitter, you've probably discussed this before, but ahead of this year's home jersey release, what's your favorite PIDS kit of all time? Hashtag AskHCHL. Dustin, I'm partial to, you know, the early 90s, the OG kit, or at least my favorite one is probably the one that kind of has the diagonal green and black on the mostly white background that has the Rapids, like river wave look that you have, kind of similar to the wave that you have that's the cross in the A in the Colorado Avalanche logo. All of the old school 90s stuff for MLS just brings out so much nostalgia for me. I loved the branding. It was fun. It was playful. It was unique from a color palette standpoint in MLS. I understand that jersey technology and design and the way that they lay it out, that has changed. And, you know, we now have shirt sponsors who pay a lot of money instead of just this big Rapids, you know, club soccer logo that is maybe different from what you would have as a crest, given the form factor on the front of the shirt. And if I had to pick something a little bit more modern, certainly I've liked the All Burgundy or the, I guess this would have been the Anthony Hudson primary kit era, where you had the burgundy shirt with the blue socks and then the blue shorts and then the fun socks. So that's, if we're talking about the kit as a whole, if we're talking about just the jersey, I'm going with the cello era 90s green. And then the other one that I would put out would be the two secondary kits that they had that were inspired by the Colorado flag, the yellow and the blue ones. They do not work for me because of my color theory and being a ginger at all, but just that yellow one, you knew exactly what it was. Everybody thought it was ugly, but it was, we are Colorado, we are leaning into this color, and it was fun, and it was different. And especially the blue one that had all of the season ticket holder names on it in the middle of the Colorado Sea, I thought was really good. Rabbi, favorite Rapids kit?
Oh, for me, my favorite Rapids kit for sure is the yellow one, which I think is from 2015.
Might
Sounds have
been
right. 2016. Is it 2015 or 2016? And I'm actually trying to find it right now. But yeah, that's my all-time favorite without any question. Yeah, I mean, that's a favorite. Honestly, the fairly simple, like, I think it was the 2014 or 2013 burgundy with white sleeves was also my favorite burgundy of the burgundy ones, which is kind of lame to say that I have a favorite burgundy one, but it seems like you should have a favorite burgundy one, you know? It just makes sense that, you should have that kind of, like, look. You know, for me, like, I have a Marlon Hairston of the yellows, and it's just such a cool kit. And apparently that kit came out of the Rapids trunk sale, so it's a leftover, so I know that it actually possibly was at some point in the possession of Marlon Hairston. The only downside is Marlon is a medium and I'm a large, so it doesn't really fit me, which is kind of a bummer. So I'm just confirming. Yeah, it's the 2015-2016 Colorado flag yellow secondary kit. So, and my favorite of the primaries is the 2013, which has the cool Adidas stripes on the shoulders and the old school MLS logo on it with the foot and the ball being kicked. So that's my stuff. That's my jam, baby.
Mark, I need to DM Michael Azira on Instagram because he sent you a lot of swag, certainly, but I haven't gotten anything. So I'll take
just one.
Socks.
He just gave me the one signed kit, but that is my favorite kit.
Okay, I'll take one. I'll take something from New Mexico United. I will take the Charleston University. What was the school he went to where he scored the winning goal in the second division national championship?
Lipscomb.
No. That's maybe. That sounds right. I'm not sure.
I have to look up my own article that I wrote about him.
I do want to point out we got really good Ask HGHLs from Bray and Jason Maxwell, but we covered those in topics that we addressed earlier in the show. So we'll pivot over to Jody Robbins, who asks, what's the deal with Bombito? Fans are overly, and he has overly in parentheses, excited about him. Fun player, but was frankly bad at defending when playing at center back last season. He can, in all caps, coach his Canadian, can't, okay, so he's saying his Canadian men's national team coach said he's better as a six. Do people at the club envision him starting at center back this season? Seems like a risky bet to me. Jody, I should point out that was the now former head coach at Canada whose name I can't remember, but I'm remembering
his face.
John Herdman, who's now with Toronto FC.
I know stuff.
And the main reason was that they thought he had the skill set to play the number six in a center backy kind of way. And he was the player with the most upside left in the pool in order to fill at that position. They were good at depth wise for that competition with that roster at center back, Jody. And I should say someone at the club gave me a really funny, told me a really funny story where that was brought up in like international team circles. And then at one point, Moise's representation reached out to somebody at the club and basically said, like, WTF, he's a center back. So, good on, Moise Bombito for saying my country needs me. If you want me to play at a position that's not center back, I am willing to do so. I can tell you the Colorado Rapids see him as a center back. I've not heard in the Chris Armas era them seeing that he is a viable fullback position. We saw Robin Fraser dabble with that at times where it was necessary, or in the back three being the right, more mobile, upwardly mobile center back. Tommy Smith did that a little bit under Anthony Hudson. We saw Lalas Abubakar and Austin Trusty, depending on the situation, do that a little bit under Robin Fraser. Chris Armas is going to be playing in a back four. I'm expecting Moise Bombito to start next to Andreas Maxo. Jody, I will say that some of his bad moments that we saw last year, I think that BS red card on the second yellow card he got at home against San Jose tanked his confidence a little bit, and he was just absolutely wrecked by what happened against Toluca, especially in stoppage time, even after the result was already decided. And I will say that he's rebounded since then. I thought he played really well under Chris Little those final seven games of the regular season, and so I do wonder if some of the bad that we've seen from him is bad, but it's two or three moments that I think are negatively, that we are inflating those three really negative moments over what was overall a very good progression for him in his first year professionally, and what was gradually a very good improvement in him growing into being a very good professional soccer player in training, and then now as a player getting regular minutes, to where I think we will see the fruits of that labor at the forefront from the start of this season. And those few really bad moments that we've seen from him were the learning process for him getting to where he's going to be. I have spoken to someone in the organization who said that they believe that his ceiling is as good or better than Austin Trusty. And if Moise Bombito 3 years from now is starting for, albeit relegation fodder, in the Premiership, and the Rapids get a nice check that isn't money laundering through Arsenal or bookkeeping in order to help them from an FFP standpoint at the expense of the Rapids, then I think that will be for the better. Mark, anything you want to say about Bombito, or shall I give you our last Ask HCHL of the evening?
Really briefly, I think you covered it really well. I would just add that sample size is small, experience is limited, player needs a little bit more experience at the MLS level to understand how to make the difficult decision between going to ground, kind of the emergency tackle, and staying on his feet for the final play. It's really tricky, and experience matters. You know, knowing how to play a guy who you've played against a dozen times, right? Like, really, really matters. You know, guys in the NBA, like Bill Laimbeer and Dennis Rodman, you know, they got to know each other's tricks because they played against each other in the Eastern Conference many, many times. The same applies for defenders in Major League Soccer. You've got to watch Sebastian Giovinco bearing down on you. You've got to watch, Sebastian Legette bearing down on you. All the Sebastians, right? Like, you've got to really have that experience of, like, this guy likes to go to his left. This guy likes a Cruyff turn in the final third, right? Like, a lot of different things like that come into play. And until you get that experience, you will be like a baby giraffe on roller skates, and that's just how it's going to be. I am very forgiving of rookie defenders. I really think we need to kind of understand that they're all going to be a little bit shaky, and I don't think anybody's going to be a great defender in their first year in MLS. So, by the way, in my previews, I've been thinking a lot about how to evaluate defenders using different metrics than I've used in the past. So we shall see how that plays out with the Rapids this year, and whether we have easier ways of knowing whether they were good or not. It's harder to do with individual players. It's easy to say an individual player looks bad, and it's easy to say, and the team conceded a lot of goals. It's harder to say the team didn't concede a lot of goals, and this one player is the main reason why. The eye test matters in that case more than anything else, so a lot of things going on with defenders.
The homies over at DNVR, Mark, put out a really good graphic about Mount Rapids. So Mount Rushmore, or whatever it is that we're calling it now, of the Rapids Mount Rushmore. And so on their Mount Rushmore, they had from left to right, Marcelo Balboa, Drew Moore, Pablo Mastroianni, and Connor Casey. And I know, Mark, I think we touched on this briefly. I don't know if we formally did it as a Mount Rushmore. I'm pretty sure we did during lockdown in 2020, and we've done Rapids best 11, we've done a draft, we've done a who are the best Rapids at every single position, who are the most legendary Rapids players. I don't think there's any question for me, Mark. The first two names on that list, and you could argue based on Marcelo being the first one and Marcelo being more relevant from the national team standpoint, but the first two on any Rapids fans list has to be Marcelo Balboa, Pablo Mascherini. I think the order is debatable. Both of them were captain. Pablo was with the club longer. Marcelo was the first player. Marcelo was more prominent on the national team. Pablo Mascherini won an MLS Cup, the only major trophy in club history. Pablo Mascherini is now coaching for the arch nemesis Real Salt Lake, in the opponent for the Rocky Mountain Cup Derby as well. So there's a duality in there. I could be convinced either way about those, but I think those are the first two on the list. If a Rapids fan does not have those two, one and two, in either order, I have to question your parameters that you were looking for Rapids Mount Rushmore. And then I think you could make an argument then between Drew Moore and Connor Casey. I think there's a bunch of secondary ones, Mark. So if Mount Rushmore actually had 10 people on it instead of just the four, or maybe five if we're accounting Chief Crazy Horse or whichever one of the Native Sioux chiefs is part of the Mount Rushmore exhibit that they have, Mount Rushmore National Park that they have. So I think if there were 10 on here, Mark, I think it would be interesting, because then I think you would say absolutely Omar Cummings is on there, Chris Henderson is on there. If there's anybody else from the MLS 1.0 era, you're talking about Chris Henderson, other than Marcelo Balboa. And then I think you also get into an interesting question about the best Rapids goalkeepers of all time, Mark, because we'll fondly remember Buna Kundal. Joe Cannon was a good goalkeeper on bad teams. You've got Matt Pickens, who is on the MLS team. You have William Yarbrough, who has a number of the key significant goalkeeper statistics. I think there's four or five very level. You could have an argument over the top five Rapids goalkeepers. And I haven't even mentioned Tim Howard, who obviously was a legendary player outside of the Rapids, but statistically, you know, diminished with the Rapids going on from after that 2016 season. So I think there's minor shouts, Mark, for other players in there. I do think Jack Price would be in that conversation, albeit towards the bottom. I don't think he would be above. I think he'd be above Sam Cronin. I think it'd be a good conversation as to whether or not he would be higher than Jeff Lorenowitz in that hierarchy. But I think pretty clearly, I don't know that there's an obvious fifth guy that you put on there. I think there's a small argument for Chris Henderson. I think there's maybe a small argument for Omar Cummings. You know, if you're going to have Connor on there, you have to have his partner in crime, really. I don't know that there's any, from a playing standpoint, any player in the time that we have covered the club who you would put on there as of right now. I think if Keegan Rosenberry plays another three or four more years and accumulates a bunch of stats as a defender for the Rapids, and he does a really good job as captain, I think he could be in there. Mark, I think the only two current Rapids who I think could unseed a Drew Moore or a Connor Casey, it would have to be Sam Bynes or Cole Bassett. I don't think there's any other current or former Rapids that we have covered on the team going back to 2015 who are getting on there. And I agree with the list that DNVR put out.
I don't really have anything to add. I think your call on goalkeepers is a good one. Matt Pickens is way up there for me. I think trying to figure out what to do with Tim Howard up there is a good question. A name you didn't mention who's interesting to kind of just toss out is Paul Bravo. Bravo was a
good shout.
Solid player who did a lot of things for the team, and I believe is second on the all-time list for goals. And interestingly enough, if you look at games played, Keegan Rosenberry is moving up that list pretty quickly at, like, I think 130, which is really impressive. So if he actually is a kind of put him in ink right back starter for the Colorado Rapids and plays north of 2,500 minutes this year, I think you have to start thinking about what that means. Now, the challenge of any player for the Gallery of Honor is you have to have played a lot of games for the Rapids, you have to have been good, and the team probably had to have success while you were on the team. Those three things are really hard to come by. I mean, Marcelo Balboa never won MLS Cup with the Rapids. So that's tough. You get a guy like, a legend like Tim Howard or Carlos Valderrama, who both played for the Rapids when you know, 2016 Colorado Rapids were pretty good, but 2017, 2018 Tim Howard weren't very good. And Carlos Valderrama, I think, played for the Rapids in like 2000, 2001, and they weren't any good that year. And Valderrama wasn't any good that year, and he basically retired 15 minutes afterwards. So I think he moved on to one other team afterwards and was done. So, you know, you get other guys who kind of breeze through and won't be remembered as Colorado Rapids. Jeff Larenowicz, an amazing player, but his best years were spent elsewhere. Kyle Beckerman, who had a lot of good years with the Colorado Rapids, although Rapids fans don't remember him very well because he was kind of king of the rash challenge, and had his best years at RSL. So you get guys like that, and that's, I think, kind of the story. But I do like Omar Cummings as an answer to that, too, because good goal scorer, good guy. He should be in that list as well. So
I looked up, Mark, the club's done a really good job of putting some of their history stuff on the club website, regardless of whether or not you agree with certain of their decisions. So if we just roll down, they did this a few years ago, I believe, but their all-time best 11 that they put out, this might have been to a fan vote. They had Connor Casey up top. They had a front three of Chris Henderson, Carlos Valderrama, Terry Cook. Are they picking Valderrama because of historically and culturally what he meant rather than his actual production with the Rapids? In the double pivot, you had Jeff Larenowicz and Pablo Mascherini at the time, no disagreement. And then you had a back four. Interesting things going on here from a left back position. They have Drew Moore at left back, Robin Fraser and Balboa at the center back, and then Kosuke Kimura at right back, and then Tim Howard in goal. Like you said, Mark, I think there's a valid question of do you go with legacy or what they actually did with the Rapids in goalkeeper position. And then with all due respect to Drew, who at times was a left back, I think when it's all said and done, unless he goes back to Europe like in the next 18 months, I think Sam Bynes probably unseats Drew Moore on that. And if we're talking about, Mark, where the Mount Rushmore is capped at four, and then the prerequisite for that has to be being in the Gallery of Honor. So Marcelo Balboa, you already said some nice things about Paul Bravo. We talked about Chris Henderson. John Spencer's the one that we haven't mentioned, Mark, you know, who scored, he had 37 goals at the time, and I think was statistically, he was significant for his era, 2001, 2004 with the Rapids, multiple best 11s in MLS, it's nothing to snuff at. And then the other inductees, Pablo Mascherini, Connor Casey, Drew Moore as well. I think John Spencer, for me, Mark, if I had to pick who's the lowest of the Gallery of Honor inductees, it's probably him. And then we've already mentioned all the other ones as well. And then if you just go down the list of, if we just go with games started, Mark, this is from top to bottom. So Mascherini, Moore, Henderson, Balboa, Marvell Wynn, Keegan Rosenberry, Kyle Beckerman, Paul Bravo, Matt Pickens, and then Dylan Powers. I forgot about Dylan Powers. And then it's pretty similar overlap in terms of like minutes played, games played, all those things as well. So I think we're right, Mark, that Keegan Rosenberry, depending on, I think his legacy ultimately will be defined on whether or not he does something with the Rapids as captain. I could see, if you told me right now with his current contract, is there an argument that Keegan Rosenberry is the best right back in club history over Kosuke Kimura? The only argument, the tying factor, the deciding factor for me would be Kosuke won silverware and Keegan so far has not. And I think I agree with you, Mark. If Sam Bynes and Cole Bassett play out their 4-year contracts with the Rapids, that they will be so statistically significant on these lists that they would have to be next on that list as well. Oh, hey, here's where did I see Mark Chung? Mark Chung and Dom Baji are here under the number of goals scored. Dom Baji had, is that 103? No, 29 goals scored in 103 games played. And then Mark Chung had 26 in 84 as well. So I think that's it. Listeners, let us know who your Mount Rushmore is if you disagree with us and with DNVR, and let us know who you think potentially could be the next Gallery of Honor inductee for the Rapids or the next Mount Rushmore member if it is not one of Keegan Rosenberry, Sam Vines, or Cole Bassett. Who knows? Maybe in 20 years we'll be talking about Adam Beaudry, Mark, when he's starting for the Rapids and winning Goalkeeper of the Year and leading the U.S. men's national team as Greg Berhalter is still the head coach of the club in 2034. Listeners, we'll get out of here. You can follow us on Twitter at @soccer_rabbi, at LWS Matt Pollard, and at Rapids96podcast. Check out our Substack, holdingthehighline.substack.com. We're on Twitter. We're on Blue Sky. We are on Facebook now. So like us on Facebook, rate, review, share, subscribe, wherever you get your podcasts. And we will see you next time. If there's news, we'll have news. next week. And if there's not a whole lot, or that friendly, the last friendly the Rapids have in Mexico is not super interesting, we might have some fun evergreen content for you next week. But in any case, we'll see you then.
Peace.